So I really believe they are sincere. I hope they're sincere. We're going to soon find out.
All right, that was President Trump discussing North Korea's overture to come to the table and make nice. To discuss that with us now is Bruce Klingner. He's a former CIA Deputy Division Chief for Korea and a Senior Research Fellow for Northeast Asia at the Heritage Foundation's Asian Study Centers. Bruce, good morning. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall.
Well, thanks for having me again.
All right, so President Trump says, I think they're sincere. I hope they're sincere. We're going to find out. Do you think North Korea is being sincere in their overtures here to, hey, to disarm their nuclear weapons?
I think we need to maintain a healthy dose of skepticism. We've really been down this path many, many times. We can hope the results will be different this time, but we've had a number of agreements with North Korea where they promised never to build nuclear weapons and then to give up the weapons they promised never to build. And there are even some differences between the North Korean readout of these meetings and the South Korean readout. So, you know, we should continue down the path of diplomacy, but we need to keep our eyes open on this.
Bruce, diplomacy with bad actors, we've heard so many times, don't reward them with a conversation. Use that conversation as a leverage point in order to force them to change their behaviors. Would it be a bad idea for the United States to even entertain a conversation yet?
Well, I think we need to distinguish between sort of two levels of talks when people say whether we should talk. One kind of the high level is a resumption of formal negotiations, the six-party talks. And we shouldn't go back into the negotiating room, as long as North Korea says they'll never abide by the basic premise, which is denuclearization. But on the lower level, just sort of diplomat meeting with diplomats, we should always do that. That's why we have a State Department. And in the past, the U.S. has repeatedly tried to engage with North Korea, and North Korea was the one that rejected the hand of dialogue. So, the previous U.S. diplomat said, he had tried calling North Korea and was reminded at the time that the New York Channel, the contact between missions, was closed and he shouldn't be using that phone. So, and just what, 2-3 weeks ago, they turned down a meeting with Vice President Pence and canceled it two hours before the meeting. So, again, so skepticism is needed.
As you watch this, if their goal is not to disarm, which it doesn't seem to be, everyone's skeptical of that notion, then what is the goal, as best you can tell, of suggesting that they're open to talks? Is this just to sort of burnish Kim Jong-un's ego so he can tell his people, look at me, I can get these conversations?
Well, of course we should go into the diplomatic meetings and exploring whether this time is different, that they are actually going to abide by the 10 or 11 UN resolutions which require them to denuclearize. But I think more likely the goal is to drive a wedge between the U.S. and its allies, to appear very reasonable, try to make it look like the U.S. is the problem. And then that way the South Koreans may become more eager to have engagement, and it causes strains between Washington and Seoul. And also by appearing to be reasonable, then North Korea may be able to sort of weaken the resolve of the international community to maintain these sanctions and targeted financial measures.
I wanted to ask you about North Korea and their nukes in general. And do you believe that they already have this technology, and that's what they're saying, hey, we'll give it up, but they already have it?
Well, Kim Jong-un, in his New Year's Day speech, declared that they have a nuclear ICBM capability. Most experts think that they're not quite there yet, that they still have to do a few more tests to prove that they have a ICBM. But we know that they have a missile that can reach all of the U.S. We just don't know if they have the warhead for that yet. But they have tested not only atomic bombs, like the kinds used in 1945, but an H-bomb, incredibly powerful, it could take out a city. They've tested that, and then also they have, we think, 30 or more nuclear weapons already, which can fit on their shorter range or medium range missiles. So South Korea and Japan are under a nuclear threat today, and then whether North Korea has the ability to hit our bases in Guam as well as the continental U.S., they may not quite be there yet, but they're very, very close.
Now, they have not had a test since November, and for a while there, they were testing a lot of these weapons, a lot of these missiles, despite the president saying to them, if you do it again, we're going to have a problem here. So they would do it again just to prove anything. Why have they been so quiet?
Well, they historically have tested less often in the winter. So sometimes when people either say they're being, you know, sending a sign of benign intent, or it's a result of strong messaging from the U.S. The reality is they just don't do many missile tests in the winter because of the weather conditions. So we've had times where people say, look, they're not testing, and then almost the next day they go ahead and test. So, but in this case, they may be holding back a bit to try to present this image of, you know, interest in diplomacy, and then either if the U.S. and South Korea go ahead with military exercises, or they don't give North Korea what they want in these negotiations, then they may launch and just say, well, it's all the U.S.'s fault.
So if we believe in any way that pressure has brought North Korea to any kind of table, you know, what is it? I mean, I know the sanctions have been pretty tough. North Korea has been sort of smuggling coal through back channels in order to sell it off. There's all sorts of indications that their people are suffering as a result of these sanctions. Are those having an impact?
I think so. Some will say that the threats to do a U.S. preventive attack is what's bringing them to the table. I think it's more that it's the cumulative effect of finally really doing stronger sanctions and targeted financial measures during the past 2 years that is having an impact. So just as Iran came back to the negotiating table for the nuclear deal because of pressure and an open door of diplomacy, I think that's what's working with North Korea.
Lastly, if you could look into your crystal ball, how do you think this is all going to play out?
Well, I've been following North Korea for 24 years, and I've sort of, you know, it's not my first rodeo. So, you know, unfortunately, I tend to be pretty skeptical and think that even given the initial indicators from Pyongyang, that I think once again this one's going to collapse. But that's not to say we shouldn't try it again and hope for a different answer.
So in the end, we'll give it a shot, but we're probably going to wind up exactly where we are right now. North Korea is still going to be moving towards nukes. We'll start to see some missile launches down the road. They're going to blame it on America. And this song is going to be sung again and again.
Yes.
Right. But what's different this time is, you know, remember just back in December when it seemed like we were on this path to sort of an inevitable military clash with the North, largely because of Trump administration's sort of threats of a preventive attack, saying that we won't allow them to even have the capability of hitting the U.S. with nuclear weapons. So, you know, right now we're in the diplomatic phase, and if it collapses, then, you know, that military option may come back. If North Korea does an ICBM test, or if we have intelligence that they've made a rapid progress in achieving the ICBM, then we're going to have the proponents of preventive attack saying, okay, we have to do it. We have to hit them, even if we don't feel they're about to attack us, but simply to prevent them from completing that capability.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to discuss as this goes on. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again about this.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's Bruce Klingner with the Heritage Foundation at 7:15 on WMAL.